Amen. So are you all ready for Easter? That's the question that the person who cuts my hair asked as I sat down this week for a trim. Are you all ready for Easter? I enjoy her very much. We talk openly. She knows that I'm a Christian pastor. She was trying to connect. So at least with me, this question was religiously and culturally within bounds. I imagine it's one that she'll ask many more times to those who come and sit in her chair over these coming days. Are you all ready for Easter? And it's a fair question. And it would have been a lot easier to answer if I was thinking about what I would be serving for Easter dinner, or about Easter baskets and if I had gotten any jelly beans yet. But instead, her question sent this surge of adrenaline through me, and my mind went quickly to a whole bunch of services, these today, but also a bunch of them this week, and next Sunday morning as well. But really, even more, my mind went to the process of preparing for Easter, the process of Holy Week. We don't just land on Easter. First, there are the cries of Hosanna, save us, Jesus, save us, that we cry out as Jesus rides into the city. And there's the kneeling to wash one another's feet. There's the gathering at the holy table. First, there is the confessing our own place in the systems of death, and oh my, there are many. There's the yearning to follow Jesus to the cross, his body broken. All of that flashed in front of me when she innocently asked, are you all ready for Easter? It was so light. It was so well-intentioned. You know, there's an awful lot of getting ready that happens in the Palm Sunday Gospel that we just heard out on the church steps this morning. Go into the village. As you enter it, you'll find a colt that's never been ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks, say this, the Lord needs it. There's a precision. There's a planfulness. There's an intentionality. There's an intensity to every step in the city that day. Some of you have heard me talk about Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan before, but this is really a powerful insight that they have. They talk about, these two are New Testament scholars, they're historians of early Christianity, and Borg and Crossan went back and pieced together the culture and the records, and they found that there were actually two processions in Jerusalem that day that we call Palm Sunday in the year 30. The one we reenact with palms and Jesus riding on a colt and shouts of Hosanna, that was the peasant procession. It entered Jerusalem on the east side of the city. The other procession came in from the west side of the city. It was the imperial procession with Pontius Pilate flanked by columns of cavalry and marching foot soldiers and leather armor and banners and weapons clanking and drums beating. This was the first motorcade of sorts, right, of its time. And it was ushering in Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, arriving to keep order in the city during the Jewish festival of Passover, just like he did every year. So today, two very different processions, but the similarity is, right? They're striking, and they're intentional, and they're meant to be ironic. Very ironic. Jesus' procession was an alternative procession. The imperial procession, though, it glorified the Roman emperor, who the people worshipped with titles like Savior and Lord. You got that, right? Savior and Lord for the emperor. The other procession, the palm procession, the peasant procession, lauded this humble Jesus, who saves the world by dying for it, who liberates with justice and mercy and forgiveness, who loves the poor and the vulnerable, and who in death emptied himself like a slave. Dear ones, an alternative procession of this sort doesn't just happen. There's an awful lot of getting ready, an awful lot of preparation for Jesus and for his followers. An awful lot of preparation for us. Honestly, that's what I love about Holy Week. Together as a community, we don't just leapfrog over these holy days and swoop into Easter morning and new life. Instead, with care and with intentionality, ideally with our hearts and our minds and our bodies in sync, we venture to the cross. We venture to love itself. And that's important. And it makes all the difference. Holy Week bids us to come to the cross. Come to the cross that holds our brokenness and the world's brokenness. Come to the cross where our deepest pain and our shame lay bare. Come to the cross where our control and our plans square with God's plan and God's dreams. Come to the cross where the world's injustice is put to death. As much as I believe that first Palm Sunday procession was brilliantly planned, like the most effective protests of our day, I don't believe that they were ready for what came next. How could they be, really? Jesus understood as best he could, and God knows he'd been predicting the cross and his death for many, many chapters before. He'd been telling them. But the disciples, did they understand? I'm not so sure. Not really. Jesus would say things in that enigmatic Jesus kind of way. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, he told them. But could they really understand? I guess they really didn't need to. Holy Week then and Holy Week now invites us to come along, understanding or not, ready or not, to simply come to the cross. So I'm still mulling over my beautician's question. Are you all ready for Easter? Because the fact is, no. I'm not ready. And I don't even want to be ready, to be completely honest. I've got plenty of preparation still to do, and that's true. But more before Easter morning dawns, I want to move slowly, very slowly through these holy days. I want to eat together with you all. I want to do that with vulnerability. I want to remember Jesus' last meal with his closest, most beloved friends. I want to lift before God our world, the violence and the temptation, the uncertainty and the waiting and the power, all that feels hopeless, all that feels impossible. And I want to pray. I want to pray at the cross with you and for you. And I want you to pray for me and for one another. I want to dare journey through this Holy Week, facing death so that Easter morning is all the sweeter. God knows how much we need new life. So you're still wondering, right, what I said to my beautician? Are you all ready for Easter? She asked. And I opted to chuckle lightly. I'll be ready when it's time. That's what I told her. I'll be ready when it's time. And that's the truth. I'll be ready when it's time. And I hope you're ready too. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, holy God, meet us on the way. Ready our hearts and minds, our bodies, to meet you again this week. Bring us, O God, to the cross and then hold us into new life. Make us ready when it's time. Amen.